When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And for those of you who don't know, this month of March is very special. I'm running for a major promotion at Minute with Mary. So if you've never purchased anything there and you would like a complimentary consultation, you can simply do that by sending me a message on Facebook. That's right. This girl that's like in your earbuds. Mm-hmm. I'm a real life person and I love to help people feel more confident and creative when it comes to their makeup and skincare. And my number one most popular item is mascara. It's simple. If you've got eyeballs and eyelashes, you can put it on. And this month, my 4D Epic Mascara, my very dramatic, deep, dark, lash-lengthening mascara is on 15% discount for any listener of Outlander Cast. You can find that at MinuteWithMary.com/discount. And if you need anything else, just shoot me a message. And
by the way, I just have to say this, as the person who helps fulfill the orders,
yes,
the amount of people that purchased the last week the 4D Mascara,
yeah,
it was hard for me to keep up.
Thank you.
So I'm just saying,
thank you, thank you.
Don't miss out on this. The whole world is getting it. Not the whole world, but the whole Outlander cast world is getting in on this. Don't miss out.
Thanks, guys.
MinuteWithMary.com/discount.
Martin, what are you thinking coming back? I'm a fool, as you said. As are you. And as is the Colonel.
You both telling me that if someone told you to leave, told you that you'd never see Mistress Mackenzie or Mistress Fraser again, you'd stand for it. That you'd obey without a fight. If either of you would go and leave the woman you love with all your heart, say it now. Say you'd go and I'll walk out of here without another word.
Eye roll. I'm judging. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say for that lassie Mary of soul, she sailed on a day
Larson.
My name is Blake, and I'm still happy to report that I don't have the coronavirus.
Oh my gosh.
Don't have, even though Rhode Island has now just officially gone on
as of
state
an of hour
emergency.
Ago.
An hour ago, we are official state of emergency.
It's okay.
Which, you know,
a
I mean,
lot of states are.
Yeah, I know. It's not like the end of the world state of emergency.
But
it's not like Walking Dead.
The best
dead.
Part is that you can bug out. You can like geek out to Outlander by the comfort of your own home.
Yep.
I'm not going to give you a hug. I'm not going to sneeze on you. I'm not going to be doing any of that stuff. So you, my friend, if you're new to Outlander Cast and you've just been joining us recently and you're like, you know, I'm not going to be going out into public. I'm not going to movie theaters. I'm not going to do these things for a little while. You could just snuggle on up, listen to old podcast episodes.
Why not, man?
Just
have a glass of wine.
Go out for a walk in the outdoors and listen to some podcasts.
Get some fresh air. Just don't shake hands with anybody. You know what I saw? I saw an article the other day.
Yeah.
People should do the Spock thing.
Yes.
You know, where they
I posted that article.
That was you? Okay. Sorry.
That was me.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
This is why we're best friends.
Live long and prosper. They should do the Spock thing. For those of you who get the benefit of watching us on Facebook Live, live long and prosper. Mary's having a hard
finger,
time doing that.
That's my finger that has arthritis.
So, thank you everybody for listening to us and enjoying Outlander with all of us. And getting ready for episode 504.
I know. This is a big week for Blake and I because in addition to Outlander, we also podcast about the show This Is Us on NBC. You can check out our podcast at maryandblake.com. It's called This Is Us 2. So we're keeping busy. We're cranking stuff out. We're having our regular episode now. Our listener feedback episode on 504 is going to be coming out on Wednesday. We're going to be recording that live. So if you have not yet submitted your feedback, you can do that by going to outlandercast.com. Click the SpeakPipe version, little button thing.
Yeah, just go to outlandercast.com and hit the voicemail button. It says engage, and then below that it will say voicemail. Click that, and then you'll see a button that says SpeakPipe.
Yes.
And then just hit that button. It will utilize your microphone in your phone or in your computer, your iPad, or whatever. And then you can just leave us a voice message, and it sounds beautiful.
It sounds great.
It sounds like you're in studio.
So you can find us on all places of social media too, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and that's where you can find all this stuff as you hunker down a little bit and travel out less in the world. But we're here for you, and we're here to talk about Outlander. So let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this episode, I'm pumped to talk about it. I'm just going to give a little caveat.
Okay, what do
you got? If anyone listening has only watched this episode one time, you're doing this episode a disservice. Putting it out there.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. Watch it a couple of times. Watch it at least a couple of times.
Yes. Okay, so tell me some of the details about this episode.
So the title was called of this episode was called The Company We Keep. And the writer, her name was Barbara Stepanski. Now, Barbara Stepanski is a name that you don't know.
Nor
should you know.
Okay.
She's actually quite a bit of a good director by herself. She's actually directed 14 different titles.
Mm-hmm.
And she has written many of those actual directorial efforts that she had, and then other things as well. But this is her first major studio style either episode of television or whatever. And she is new to Outlander for this season. In fact, she served as the story editor for the first three episodes.
Cool.
And even this episode. And I imagine that she will serve as story editor for the remainder of the season. So it's great because, again, bringing on people,
mm-hmm.
training your own talent, bringing things and talent in to create and live within the Outlander universe is really good. Now, what is a story editor, right? Everybody wants to...
Everybody wants
to know exactly what a story editor is. I know you do. And a story editor really has many responsibilities, including getting the new script and the breaks down to the writers, developing the stories that they're talking about with the writers, to make sure that the scripts are available and are suitable for the whole production overall. They work closely with each writer on each draft for their story and their script, maybe giving the writer feedback on the quality of their work or suggesting improvements that can be made while ensuring that, like, continuity and the running time is correct. You know, because, like, for every page of a script, it's about 1 minute worth of television.
Yes.
So they got to make sure that the timing is right, and that, like, essentially that the Bible that the show has created.
I like that you said that to me.
I was like, to the royal television. I know. that the Bible that the show has created,
okay,
is getting adhered to.
Yes.
Making sure that they're doing the thing.
Yes.
And making sure that whoever, like, let's say, for example, there are, like, episode two was written by Luke Skelhas and Tony Graffia.
Mm-hmm.
The story editor has to make sure that the two writers are jiving together and that they're writing the right things, and then they have to sew them together. That is what a story editor is. So that's what they do.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
The director of this was Jamie Payne.
Your binky.
Jamie Payne, my binky.
Yeah.
He is my binky. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
And I got to give him credit, man.
Binky meaning?
Binky is the thing, is basically somebody that can't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just no matter what they do, like, again, I'll say it again. Frank was my binky for the first four seasons. And it technically, still my binky. Still the binky.
Always be your binky.
Still the binky. Just like how Tom Brady is my sports binky. Tom Brady can do no wrong, even if he leaves the Patriots. And this is his big free agent season. This is, he might be leaving. And if he leaves, he's still my binky. He's okay. So so that's that. Marvin, what do you got for your kilt rating on a 1 to 5 kilt rating?
Okay, drum roll. 5.
Of course.
Really?
Yeah, you're dropping fives, man.
I didn't drop fives.
No, you didn't last episode.
Yeah, nor the episode before that. I dropped a 5 the first episode.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. Okay.
When I was like, sign me up. I want to be a wedding guest. I want to be a wedding crasher. This was a 5 for so many reasons, mm-hmm. and I'm so excited to talk about this episode. All right. How about you?
All right. For me, I'm actually giving it the same exact rating that I gave last episode, which is a 4.49. I'm giving it a 4.49.
I'm shook.
Why are you shook? Why are you shooketh?
Well, okay.
Well, listen, a 4.49 for me in this case is actually a pretty good thing. I don't know if the show really knows what to do with Brianna quite yet. I don't think that it does know what to do with Bri. And more importantly, I just feel like they're relying, and the show has had a penchant for doing this, which is relying on one-off characters. You know, and relying on them to tell the story that they really should be using our main characters to tell, mm-hmm. and using these one-off characters as a way to tell the story. And I don't like that, but I will say, for the most part, the craft in this episode once again was quite good, and that's what helps bring this episode up into that category. And it's the same thing as last episode. The craft is incredible, but other things are bringing it down. So what do you got for your GBG?
All right. So I do actually have a GBG for this episode. Normally, when I have something, it's a 5. Definitely, when it's a 5+, it's a GGB, a good, great, and best. But today, it's good. Bad, great.
Oh, hold on real quick before you get into that. Yeah. We have a comment here. It says, wait, Mary, you said you never give a 5 unless there is sex.
Yeah. There was eye sex.
just as good.
There is some bumping and grinding that definitely took place that night that we did not see. But you know, once Jamie was like, do you want a baby? Claire did the act that would have produced a baby,
know, absolutely.
10, 15, 20 years before. so I know that they had sex in the... they had sex by that tree.
Just
don't worry about it, guys. In my imagination, they did a few times.
In your head canon, they had
sex. In my head canon, they...
A number of times.
Yes. Okay. So my good are Fergus and Marcelly. Can they please be my neighbors? Can they please be like our couple best friends? Because they're friggin' awesome. All right. I love seeing Fergus's dynamic with Roger. Because you know he sits there and he's probably like, why the heck does Roger get to be number one? Like, I actually know a little bit more. I've been hanging out with Jamie like since I was a wee bairn myself. What's going on? Just because I don't have a hand, man. But like, he has to give it to Roger because it's his son-in-law.
Yeah.
And yet Fergus just like backs Roger up. He's like, what should we do, Captain? He's like, open up the whiskey. Are you sure we should do that? Like, Roger kind of keeps him in check. Like, are you sure? Yep. Oh, okay. Let's do it. And Marcelly, of course, is just trying to be such an amazing friend to Bri. Like, doesn't judge her that mm-hmm. she kept her flipping back door open. Where's Jimmy? Oh, outside the other door that you left wide open, you fool. No, she's just like, God, let me get you a drink, honey. Do you want to talk about it? If you don't, that's fine. Totes fine. I love them both so much. My bad, however, is Mrs. Bug is the worst babysitter ever, okay? Bri left her for, what, 5 minutes to go buy some cotton and mm-hmm. some orange blossom scent? And she comes back. Strangers are touching Jemmy, don't they know the coronavirus is going on? And then Mrs. Bug's totally cool that some Irish bloke gave Jemmy a choking hazard.
Not great,
give him
Bob.
A coin. Mrs. Bug, Jemmy could have put it in his mouth and choked, and she didn't like take it away from him. They rode that entire way, and she's like, oh yeah, and then I gave him a little coin. Shame on you, Mrs. Bug. Shame, shame, shame.
Shame.
Don't leave her with the babies ever again. And then my grade is the same grade that was last episode. Jamie. Did Jamie make anyone else smile pretty much all the time except when he was not being kind to Roger? And then still you were like, oh, Jamie, you'll figure it out soon. The way that, the whole baby conversation, like, what a sweetheart. And the whole talk, I will get into it. Jamie dancing.
Just Jamie overall. Oh,
how did he remember that whole thing? I was like trying to do it myself. Terrible.
Yeah, no. You are
I
not.
I can't sword dance.
You are not made to sword dance. I would say that you should just not dance.
Period. Yeah.
You have no soul. It's okay. I don't have any soul either. I can't dance.
I can do like the step.
Yeah. You
snap.
Can.
Snap.
You like a hitch. You live right here.
That's me. Okay. We can't even do it together.
Forearms at the waist.
All right. So what's your DVD?
All right. My good. The first one is actually Jamie. Jamie Payne. Again. It's my boy. It's my Binky.
Yes.
I was going to make him my great. I was going to do it, but something else happened that was great, so I have to go with it. But the directing and obviously the cinematography by Alistair Walker. The cinematography here and the lighting and the directing is the beautiful artwork that we're watching when it comes to Outlander. This is something that the show, I know we talked about it last week, but I got to reiterate this. The show was so flat in season 4. And for a lot of season 3, it was so flat.
Visually.
And in this season, there is real depth and there is real color. And Mary and I actually, for my birthday princess week that just ended, we actually went to go see the movie 1917. And why is this pertinent? Because the guy who was the cinematographer for it, his name is Roger Deakins. He's actually like the world's most prolific cinematographer there is. Actually just won an Oscar, finally. He is incredible. And Roger Deakins and the cinematography for 1917 was gorgeous. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because for a lot of the scenes, they're in these bunkers. And it's only lit by candlelight and it's only lit by like lamplight. And that is it. It is black and orange and a couple of greens. And that's what you get for lighting. And Roger Deakins always says, don't be afraid of black. Don't be afraid of dark. Like, don't use that to your advantage.
Yeah.
Use that depth of color. Bring the black in. Let it be inky. Let it just overtake the rest of the frame, and then where you need the light, put it there.
Nice.
That's it. And when I was watching not only last episode, but this episode, you could tell that Jamie Payne is not afraid of black. He ain't afraid of the dark. He's letting these things be inky. And I really, really, really like that. The bad for me. We are a quarter into this season.
Yeah, we are.
And the last two episodes have felt like the first episode 3. Episode 3 was the X-Files.
Yes.
Episode 4 was Law and Order.
Yes.
That's what this was for me.
Okay.
And I know.
You know you need to have faith.
There's got to be things coming up.
Just roll. Show watchers only, just roll. We promise.
This wasn't Monster of the Week, but this was like the Blacklist, bad guy of the week.
Random cranky guy of the week who's got beef. Okay.
And everything gets tied up with a nice little bow by the end, and there's this cute little voiceover at the end, and everything's hunky dory, and we're moving forward. That does not feel like Outlander to me. The show has made its bones on being a serialized show, where each episode leads into the next. Essentially, you're watching a 12 to 13 hour movie. That's what you're watching. And this feels very chopped. It feels very like...
We will see how you feel about this episode shortly.
Yes. Okay. So, but my great is actually a tie. The first one, Stephen Bonnet on the title card.
Oh my God. So good.
With the coin. And I always wish I could do that thing with the coin on my fingers.
I know. Maybe you could do it with a bottle cap.
Yeah, I doubt it. I've always wanted to be able to do that, number one. But the title cards for this season have been awesome. And because they're not like, you gotta quit it, kiddo. You gotta quit it. She's trying to do the finger thing with a ball cap. The title cards have been really cool this season because they're not directly referenced in the episodes the way that they were in seasons past. They're like mini shorts that relate to the episode.
Correct.
Which is so fracking cool.
It's really, really wonderful.
And that presence, and like even Mary and I were engaged the second we saw the coin. We were like, oh my God, that has to be Bonnet.
Yeah.
Like we saw the coat, we saw the whole thing, we saw the like how it was on his fingers.
Yep.
Like we were engaged
yes.
with the title card.
Yes.
Which is excellent.
And that's all you needed.
And the looming presence of Stephen Bonnet throughout this episode relates back to the title card, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated
Agreed.
That. But the real great okay. is the real great, and this is what brings the episode up for me, is relationships. I cannot stress this enough. I've said it a billion times. I will say it a billion more times, but before I die. Any good television, any good movie, anything that's well written is based on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got that aplenty in
yes,
this episode.
You do.
Whether it is Jamie with Claire, Brianna with Marcelli,
yep.
Brianna and Stephen Bonnet, Roger to Jamie, Roger to Claire. All of these relationships were
yes.
given very specific time.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm not a big fan of the episodic feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the amount of time I've spent with these relationships. I spent all last season complaining about where the hell are the relationships? How are these people interacting? They don't. It's just they're moving from plot to plot to plot. In this episode, that did not happen. It was the opposite. And I really liked that. So that's my great.
Nice.
So that's that. Marvin, your takes. What do you got for your takes on this one?
Oh, like we're jumping
where,
on
yeah,
it?
Where do you want to stop?
Oh, all right. Well, like, do you want to start at the ridge? Let's start at the ridge.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Okay. So obviously, you know, Brie gets to go have some retail therapy. We've all been there. Anne needs to get some necessities, obviously. Seems very happy, of course. And then Mrs. Bug is talking about dumplings. If you missed her conversation, you need to watch it with the closed captions because she and her hubby have this little like bickering going on. Like, you went into town for sugar and all you're going to make me are dumplings. Like, oh my God, I love it. But of course, you know, she, let's talk about this, the ridge and like what's going on here. So she gets to hear that possibly an Irishman who she may know, Bonnet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is in town asking about her baby.
Yeah, well, yes, technically asking about the baby, but just like, you know.
Just peeking in,
giving a wee keek, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I cannot get over, like, that was such an exquisite thing to write into this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I give your girl Barbara Stepanski. Barbara, I'm going to call you Babs. Okay, Babs, that was the best move you did for the entire episode.
Ooh,
that was the best. That one. You know what? No, I'm doing it. Makes me wanna shout. That move is the best.
Agreed.
Because while the show, I maintain, has no idea what to do with Brie, especially when she's on her own.
I
am almost to the point where I think that the show doesn't know what to do with Roger, but
no, don't worry.
But you can tell that
they don't know what they're doing. That's the thing, is they don't know what they're doing with themselves.
Right. So what I'm getting at is their life is kind of stuck, and
yes.
they have to, and the writers and Babs has got to make this stick. And it's got to give us something relevant. Otherwise,
yeah.
what the hell are we watching for? So the whole thing of, like, if we had just seen Jemmy and he kind of, crawled away and she started freaking out, it would have been like, okay, well, what the hell does that mean? But when you see that shot that Jamie Payne has from the woods looking into...
With that animal howl?
Into the big house.
Yes!
Where you're not...
Not that was the daytime one, but you were like behind trees.
Yeah, you're not quite sure that if you're in the...
Are you a person?
Are you in the POV of Stephen Bonnet? Is he there? Is he not there? And
that was intense.
And because of that coin, we now have that tension. We know that Bonnet has a drop on these guys and where they are. So when Bree is freaking out,
yes.
it's dramatic for the sake of drama, but it still has that underlying looming tension mm-hmm. of Stephen Bonnet. And mm-hmm. that is why this was the best move that Babs did for this entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because that actually makes what's happening to Brianna relevant.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Otherwise, why are we spending any time with her? Why do I care?
Wow.
I mean, I care that her kid crawled away. Yeah, sure. And she's a mom and she's flipping out. But whatever. That's just drama for drama's sake. But the relationship that she has with Bonnet because of this makes that spectacular stuff.
So then, of course, you know, so she's having this in her head and she has to work quickly on her feet. She has to say, oh, you know, whatever. I just don't want those, you know, how the Irish are with their superstitions and I don't want it filling Jimmy's head. And then we get, of course, the scene later on where she is there with Jermaine and Jemmy and goes out just to go get some more firewood. And, you know, it's so funny because, like, the 2020 mom that I am, who's, like, baby-proofed our house to the max,
mm-hmm.
I was getting heart palpitations just seeing her walk outside while
yeah.
the babies are on the floor next to an open hearth. Okay, now mind you, this is a very different day and age. Like, kids probably, like, you go near the heat, you feel it, and you learn your lesson. That's not how 2020 moms are, I'll tell you what. There would have been some gates. There would have been, like, leashes. Like, the baby would have been in a little leash, the, like, bouncy thing hanging
drones
from the ceiling.
Were keeping the kids
in. The back door certainly would not have been open.
No, God no.
Let's be real. I have, what, padlocks? Not padlocks. What do I have?
Chain locks.
I have chain locks on all our doors.
Windows would be closed. There'd be no it wouldn't even be windows open. In fact, that kid would be wearing a bubble.
Yes.
He'd be a bubble boy.
Yes. So as Bree walks out to go get firewood, I sat there being like, why'd she just leave the babies in the house next to the open fire? Oh my goodness gracious. And of course.
Oh, sorry.
Of course, you know, then she hears the animal cry, runs inside.
Yep.
And I lost it. I lost it for a hot second.
What do you mean?
I was feeling the fear of Bree.
Oh, okay.
Where's the baby?
Yes.
It was like Ghostbusters. I was picturing him like outside on the little ledge, you know, like just crawling along.
Are you the gatekeeper?
And then, of course, she's screaming enough. So Lizzie and Marcely come down. And this is how you know that Marcely, this ain't her first time at the rodeo.
Oh, no.
Marcely's had a couple bairns of her. You know, it's the difference. It's so funny because it reminded me of a Facebook meme where it's like first time mom and like they've got all the perfect little baby book pictures.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, my baby's 1.5 months old. Like, you know, doing all the little dated
boiling
pictures. Boiling the binkies, like sanitizing everything. And then you've got the mom of 2, 3, 4+ babies who like the binky drops on the floor and she just looks at it and shoves it back in the kid's mouth.
Or like, sticks it in her mouth and puts it
yeah,
in the
or just like
mouth.
Wipes it off on her pants. Yeah, like Marcely is totally repping the moms of multiple kids in this episode.
Yeah.
She doesn't fret. She's like, Jermaine, where's the babe? And he's yeah. like, ball. She walks out and she's like yeah. Oh, cute.
Yeah, that's great.
Look
good
at
job.
Him. He just wanted his ball. Let's go pour us a drink.
Oh.
So I love the friendship and I loved how Marcely opened the door. Marcely is really, really trying to like,
oh yeah,
let both Claire and Bree know I'm here. There's a lot to you complicated women, lot to you, but I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And I loved her little story that she was able to share with Bree.
Yeah, which was purposely done. Like she purposely hyperbolized it so that she could make a point. I killed my dad. But she knew that she didn't kill her dad. She's proving a point to Bree, which is...
I stopped there for a second. And I was like, all right, let's see where they're going to go with this in this show.
You know, I killed my dad. And Bree tells her, no, just because you think it doesn't mean that you did it. And of course, she has to have the retort to the same thing to Bree. Well, just because you think it doesn't mean that it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So... relax. And I loved that reversal. And I am all about the hashtag Marcely life. I want more Marcely in my life than like I ever thought I needed. Because that girl the girl who plays her and the character herself is just the best.
Agreed.
And again, we talked about this last episode, getting relationships that you don't necessarily know that you want or that you need or know that you need.
Yeah.
Having that good relationship dynamic between people who aren't normally together. We actually get this a lot in This Is Us, on This Is Us too.
Mm-hmm.
When you get certain characters that interact with each other that don't normally do it.
Agreed.
And you don't normally have Bree and Marcy interacting together because of that. And again, the show in the past number of seasons has relied on these one-off characters to tell its story. But finally, we're like home.
Yes.
And we can finally get people that we actually kind of care about. And then it becomes the snake that eats its own tail.
Yes.
Like, okay, we're getting the interaction finally, and that makes us care, which makes us want to have more interaction, which makes us care more.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you already that within 4 episodes of Marcy in season 5, I care more about her more than I ever cared about Roger, even to this day, so far. So they're pushing it in the right direction, in my opinion.
I would agree. They're pushing Marcy in the right direction. Completely agree.
Yeah, between her relationship with Claire and now Bree and what they're doing.
No, it's beautiful.
And how the girl is trying to sit down and just have a nice conversation. Be like, what's going on? You got to tell me.
Open up.
Does it piss you off that Bree can't talk about it, or is it something that you understand?
It really pisses me off.
Why does it piss you off?
Because I just feel like Marcy really wants to be someone's best friend. She's got a hell of a lot of kids, okay? her husband is obviously her best friend. Fergus and Marcy have much of the same humor. Yeah. I actually, when I watched them this episode, I thought about you and I.
Really?
So for you guys who don't know, Blake and I are like besties in addition to being married. And every once in a while, we'll just like crack each other up. We'll be like in bed talking about something and we'll just like laugh and we think each other are goofy. And both Fergus and Marcy have been dynamite, and I can picture the two of them like, oh, you'll never guess what happened. Like, Jamie and Claire had a baby. It was really quick. Like, you know, like retelling her this joke or whatever.
You are quick, my lord.
Like, I can just see them laughing together. So even though they're apart, we're not seeing them together.
Yes.
Like, you can tell that this couple is great and we're destined to be with each other. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? As 15-year-old Marcy was like, I need to marry him. Yeah, she did. She really did.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, of course, let's follow Fergus. Follow Fergus on his little cheering on Roger. Roger Mack.
Before we get into he and Roger, I just have to say there was this moment when Jamie was doing his dance and the drums started, but at the same time the drums started, you could see Fergus's regular hand and his wooden hand clapping at the same beat of the drum.
And Blake thought the
when
sound.
When I first thought it, when I first saw it, I thought it was the sound of his wooden hand making the sound of the drum.
The other thing that Blake thought was funny this episode is he doesn't really watch it with closed captions.
No, I don't.
My second watch is a closed caption watch. And when Jamie kisses Claire's head, it says smooch.
It says smooches.
Smooch. And Blake rewound it 3 times. He was like, Mary, watch this. I didn't know what he was talking about because I'm so just so used to the closed caption that he was like, it says smooches.
it was just funny. Like, yes. It was just, I felt like one of those memes that you're just like, oh, smooches.
Yeah.
So cute.
So we've got Fergus, who has, I think, the best role out of this militia, you know?
What do you mean?
He's not in charge. Like, this is when you don't want to be in charge, especially if you're someone like Roger Mack,
right,
who has no idea really what he's doing in this current age. Bless his little heart. Talking about World War I, and Jamie doesn't even ask him what that means. Jamie's just like, shut up.
Dude, bro, you suck.
I don't care about Rome. And Fergus, like, that's what I'm telling you. Like, Fergus is just kind of like, I don't know if this is the wisest choice, but I'm also not in charge, so I'm not going to get in trouble. And then he just gets to go drink, talking about champagne, busting jokes. Like, he's not held accountable. He's got the easy job, so I'm pretty excited for him in this episode. I did love him. So here we go, where Roger and his militia are heading on into Brownsville.
Yeah. You know, actually, I have a question for you before we get into that.
Yeah.
Roger and Fergus.
Oh, yeah.
Are they supposed to be like the same age?
I think that Roger's older.
I think that he's older, too. I'm not 100% sure. The reason why I bring it up is just because I feel like, even though, again, relationships.
Yeah, I think Roger's older, like a bit older, like a decade.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. I'm not 100% sure, so I don't know.
You'll know. Angela Hickey will know, and she's on our Facebook Live right now.
So, Angela, give us the answer when you get it. The reason why I bring it up is because there's like there's a great, what appears to be rapport between the two, and they're almost like they're colleagues. They are contemporaries.
Yes.
Okay. And there's this great moment in when they first enter Brownsville, when Roger's coming in and
Angela says Fergus is older.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there you go. Whatever. It doesn't matter. They're around the same. They're contemporaries. There's this great moment when they first enter Brownsville and Roger's walking up and being like, hey, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And Fergus, who is a kid that is not a historian and didn't go to Oxford. He's very aware of life and he grew up in a rough way, knows what's about to happen. And yes. He's like, Roger, don't move.
Yes.
Stay right there. Just shut the hell up. Stop talking. And we're gonna figure this out. And you could see how you could see how Fergus could see what was happening instantly. And I thought that was this great partnership between the two. Once again, two people that don't interact normally at the same time, all the time, having these two together is really good.
Agreed.
It is really quite good. So,
and we've seen them near each other throughout this whole entire process. So you need to know that they're having quite a lot of bonding.
Yes.
And it's just, I'm just loving the Fergus on screen. I love Fergus, but I'm loving Fergus on screen.
Yeah, Fergus on screen is
in his boots.
Yeah, he is great. You almost get a sense of good feeling about him. I loved when Fergus tells Jamie, "We had a little bit of a small complication," and you could see it in Fergus's eyes where he's like, "Oh, Jamie ain't gonna be happy, man. Ain't gonna be happy. This is gonna be ugly."
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm liking Fergus in this season because he shows up, he does what he does, and see you later. You're right, Mary. He has the best role in the entire militia.
Like you said, like he's got the street smarts. You know, he's the one that has like is like, hold up, these people have guns.
Yeah,
like let's just hold back a little.
But
bit.
But he also defers to Roger. He's like,
exactly,
Captain. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? And he just, and like you said, Mary, he just goes along and he does what he can. And you can tell that he honestly has Roger's back when all the people, when like three or four people are deserting, you know, I think Fergus does the right thing in saying, listen, I understand where you're coming from, but these people don't. So like, mm-hmm. you know, like they lost respect for you. And so he's being honest.
Yes.
But he's doing the best that he can to help, which I think is great.
So there's Roger.
Yep.
Rolling into town. With all these people mad because Isaiah slept with this girl, mm-hmm. Alicia.
Alicia.
And they want him dead. Did Roger make the right choice, opinion?
That's a good question.
Oh, thank you.
That's a really good question because this leads into what I want to make a point about for Jamie. But it's almost like you're a paid professional to do this. Did he do the right thing? My gut tells me yes. Get them. Hopefully, you get them so drunk they forget, or you get them drunk enough where you can do what Jamie eventually did: break the guy loose and just send them off. See you later.
What would Jamie have done? Now he says what he thinks he would have done.
And that's the thing here.
Is that really what Jamie would have done?
That's the thing here. I got this. Okay. For most of you, you know that my relationship with my dad is not a good relationship right now. In fact, it's quite bad. And, or even non-existent at more like that. And my whole life, especially at work, because I work with my dad, you know, whenever you made a decision, you were always questioned, and when I would say to him, okay, well, what would you do differently? It was never a real clear answer. It was, well, what you did was wrong, blah, 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 blah. So when Roger is making these decisions and he's been entrusted with these decisions, Jamie comes walking up and saying, yeah, well, you screwed it up. Roger's like, well, what do you want me to do, bro? Like, I did the best that I could.
I loved how he was like, and I was just hoping to stall until you came. Like,
yeah, and luckily you did, you know? So I really related to that. I really found that to be a real thing where no matter what you do, you're never going to have the right answer.
Nobody died.
Right. Like, that's the thing.
Nobody died. He didn't lose any of these soldiers who he promised to keep safe. He doesn't have the wherewithal, nor know what is right within this time to even like make these grand decisions. And he probably knows no matter what decision he would make, he would have been told by Jamie he made the wrong one.
Right. Because let's say he says, okay, you know, we're blowing the doors off. All right. Screw you guys. We're going in. Jamie could turn around and say, well, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing wasting bullets, number one? And then number two, risking the lives of our entire militia for over these jabronis who all have the same last name. They all live in the same friggin' town. Like, what are you doing?
It's like Whoville.
Yeah. Wait, what? So, no.
How do you feel about these people? What kind of vibe do you get?
Dude, I've been getting like a real Hills Have Eyes feeling from this season. So many, like seriously.
It's like Backcountry Peeps, you know? Yeah. And this is,
I'm not going to go quite Deliverance, but it's I'm like on a scale of Deliverance to like normal people, I'm more on the Deliverance side.
Okay. Okay.
So I'd put it that way. Yeah, no, I'm not feeling these people.
How do you feel about Isaiah?
Which one's Isaiah?
Bow chicka wow wow.
Oh, more, yeah. Whatever. Guys do stupid things.
You know, it was really hard for me to actually watch that scene when he was, you know, talking to Roger and Claire and Jamie, the one that you actually played early on, where it's like, wouldn't you do anything for the person that you love and come back? And I want to be like, bro, you're married. You made an oath.
Yeah.
Like, and then I'm sitting there and Claire's like, well, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was married and then I stayed with Jamie.
Right.
But, so of course, that's why it's also poignant. But, you know, just sitting there, I know that it is. You're supposed to get caught up in it. But I'm thinking his poor wife's at home right now.
Yeah. Doing Lord knows what.
Right.
You know?
Okay, so.
Just wait. Maybe she's just waiting for him eating popcorn. Isaiah will be home soon.
Or maybe she's pumped.
Yeah.
Maybe she's binging like the marvelous Mrs. Maisel and like getting pedicures and living it up.
I mean,
that's what I hope Mrs. Morton is doing. I hope that she is literally like calling her girlfriends over, having some wine.
And being like, he's gone.
And watching Outlander.
Technically, they did say within the show, before people start yelling at us, we know that they've been not in the same house for like 2 years. They haven't slept in the same bed for two years.
So
we know, we get it. But yes, in our head canon, she is getting pedicures, having glasses of wine, and watching Outlander.
You're fine.
Morton, I mean, hey, listen, he loves a girl. He did what he did. And it's just funny because they have built this character up over the past, you know, four episodes, really two, to do this, to have this thing. Like, all of a sudden, this guy just showed up out of nowhere in episode one with the stupid hat, and he's the one giving the oath before Roger did. And so we build him up just for this and for him to go away. And
it was very Princess Bride.
Yes.
Why the heck did they choose for the show for them to leave in, like, broad daylight?
Yeah, I don't. Well, I mean, I think I know why they did that. And because they wanted the excuse of having the horses so that everybody else would go in the opposite direction.
But I think in the books, and we have people on Facebook Live, I think in the books they still leave at night and they do stuff with the horses because there's snow and they want to like mess up the tracks. Like, I think they actually left at night in the books and still had horses. So I just was laughing because I'm like, it's not even like they left at dawn where it was like a little bit of light. It was just like, here we go.
Right.
Nobody's and you know, they're giving each other little looks like, okay, go. Okay, you go. I'm like, it is broad daylight, guys.
And then they hit the barrels and you're like, oh, come on. Like, that's the kind of thing that I don't like. When the horse hits the barrels just for the sake of creating tension.
There's already
baked in tension into the scene as it is. They're leaving in broad daylight and you don't need to hit barrels.
Yeah, everyone on Facebook is saying they do leave at night. Yes, I thought so.
Whatever. I mean, stats are for nerds. Like, I don't care if they leave at night or during the day.
It would have made a huge difference and James Fraser would have chosen to do it at night.
I agree. It would have been smarter for them to do it at night. But it is what it is. It is what it is. You still got the same idea. You still got the same premise of these characters leaving at the time that they did.
Yeah.
But, you know, you brought up James Fraser here, and I think this is really smart. And I want to talk about Roger through Jamie's lens. Or, better yet, Jamie through Roger's lens.
Ooh.
Meaning, this season... has been quite good. We're a quarter of the way in, and we'll get into that conversation. We'll put a pin in that. But we're a quarter of the way in, and it's both good and bad in that this season so far has been more about fixing the wrongs of season four, in my opinion, than propelling the story of season five forward.
I think you may change the second half of your statement in a little bit, but...
But so far... I mean, so far, within the context that I have as a show watcher, this season has been about, okay, we messed up season four with the relationships and the people that we are supposed to care about. Let's fix it. And a primary example of how they're doing that is the relationship between Jamie and Roger.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, when you know you need to curry favor for a specific character... One of the simplest and most effective ways to do that is make them unfairly criticized. You, as a human...
You as a viewer.
As a human...
Okay.
You tend to gravitate towards those people. Somebody who's getting bullied. Somebody who is unfairly being criticized, unfairly judged. You want to help them. They're like the puppy dogs.
Yeah.
You know, you're beating a puppy dog for nothing. And that's what Roger is. He's the puppy dog. And they're making you finally care about Roger in a very specific way because they're using Jamie, the one who you actually really love, and they're making him do something wrong to Roger, like purposely, which is, Roger, you suck. Like, Jamie has no time for Roger. He's got no time for the decisions that Roger makes. Roger can't do anything good. And how you repair the relationship between the two, but most importantly, the relationship that we, the viewer, has with Roger is by making Jamie unfairly criticize him. Would you agree with this statement or not?
I'm going to agree somewhat with you because I think, you know, what we did is we got to be in this episode seeing Roger make these choices, see him really think through the process and trying his darndest to make sure that nobody got shot, that he kept all the men safe. So we got to see Roger's plan and execution, and then we got to see him sing.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, let me fan myself for a moment. And then exactly, we see Jamie come in, you know, reprimanding him. And we're just a fly on the wall saying, whoa, 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 slow your roll, Jamie. Roger did a pretty good job. He tried his best. So I agree with you that what this episode, and I do think that the season is helping us do, is seeing Roger's perspective of a gentleman who's been thrown into a different century than he belongs in, who's really, really trying his best for his family, literally just came here for Bree, and now he's in a militia.
Right. He's going off to fight these regulators.
But he could have just said, no thanks. Like, why don't you just keep me in the house? It's big enough. Mm-hmm. Like, just hide me. He could have been a coward and just kind of fulfilled the role that Jamie has almost put him in. But instead, he's stepping up and really trying his hardest. So I agree with you that I think the show is trying to have those people who do not love show Roger, like people who are just show watchers who don't know, do not love Roger. I do think that this has been a perfect way for us to root for the underdog.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, too, you're right, Mary. Roger is just doing the the best that he can, which is fine. But again, when you're looking at it through the Jamie's lens, again, you have to curry favor with that character. Like, you have to. Mm-hmm. And regardless of whether
or
not...
We're the Claire. We're Claire being like, honey, yeah. He's trying.
And you know what?
He's trying.
Yeah, right. And because we know that he's trying.
And yes.
We know, like, because we're 21st century people watching this show being like, that's probably what I would have done too. Like, Jamie, like, why are you being a dick? Like, don't do that. And regardless of whether or not the show or the books maintain this level of animosity between Roger and Jamie, I think we as the show has to probably heighten it even more to make up for the pitfalls of what season 4 caused. And that's why I think they're emphasizing it so much, which is why in the end, despite the fact that this is such an episodic part of television that I don't think is part of the language of Outlander, in much of the same vein as was last episode, where it's like, I can't see anything else happening other than going to the Beardsley's house and just staying with that. I can't see you accomplishing the same kinds of things without having an episodic feel in episode 4.
Agreed.
I don't think you can do it.
It has to be its own piece.
Because when I look at it and I say, okay, without knowing the story differently, how would I have put these two scenes, like these two episodes, mm-hmm. together? Mm-hmm. How would I have done it?
Mm-hmm.
And I would have said, nope, it's got to be its own thing, both of them. I probably, even though I'm not a big fan of it, I probably would have made the same choice if I were a showrunner.
Oh.
Looking at it.
So maybe not such a low rating for this episode?
No, it's still a low rating. It's still a 4.49.
Oh, which still isn't that bad.
Which is not bad. But oh, before I forget, when Morton says, yeah, you know, would you have gone home? Would you like go home? Or would you da-da-da? You know, would you not come back for your love? The cynic in me was saying, yeah, Roger didn't come back.
Ooh.
In season 4.
He had a long way to go by himself.
He left. I don't care what anybody says. That guy, it's an unforgivable mistake. I'm not saying I can't move past it. I'm saying it's always there. It's always there.
And
it's always
going to be. Jamie is a Taurus.
Right. You know, Jamie ain't going to give that up. Like, you left,
Tauruses don't forget.
They don't forget nothing.
They forget,
I'm married
but
to
they
a Taurus.
Don't forget.
I'm married to one. I know this. So yeah, part of me was like, ooh, is this meant to be there to highlight the fact that Roger like took his time and left, you know?
But he came back, Blake.
I know. I'm just saying as a show watcher, this is what came up to me. This is the thing that.
So there's
happened.
This baby. There's just this straight up baby. Here's a question for you.
Yes.
So they've got all the goats. They just like took the goats because they needed the goat's milk. And they're like, cool, we've got to feed this baby. How do you feed a baby when you don't have a bottle and you got goat milk? Like, will the baby drink from a cup? Do you like put it on your finger and have the baby suck your finger and there be like a stream? Does the baby drink from a goat's?
Like,
nipple, teeth? I don't teeth? Know.
Do you pour it into the kid's mouth? Like
when they're literally a newborn.
Yeah, like how do you even do that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think there's some kind of like finger drip thing. That's what I'm thinking.
You know what? I'm just glad to be in the 20th century where I can get bottles.
Seriously.
21st century.
Man. So there they are with the goats and everything.
I want to talk about the great conversation that happens between
dip cloth into the milk, they're saying, or
oh, okay.
An eyedropper. Claire soaked a cloth in milk. Oh, yes. Here I am thinking, I'm like,
oh man,
thank you.
I want to talk about the great conversation between Jamie and Claire, and seeing that, like, there's this great moment when they're walking back from the party, and you know, she sees him dancing, and she's like, "Oh my god!" You can tell that that she had no idea that Jamie could dance.
Yes.
But they're walking away from the party. She's like, "Where are you taking me?" Oh, away from prying eyes. But after, like, there's this great shot of them from behind.
Yes.
And like he kind of twirls her into his arm.
Oh my god, it was so sweet, swoon worthy, right there.
The relationship dynamic between the two. Even though we didn't have actual sex, there's intimacy there. There's intimacy there that you haven't gotten a whole ton of really since season one. Even season two, they didn't really have it. Season three, they weren't around each other enough to have it. And season four was just, in my opinion, so rushed that you didn't really have an opportunity to have this kind of intimate moment. So when Jamie says to her, Beecham, Randall, Fraser, you married to somebody that I don't know about in Sassenach? Like, what are we doing? And he's saying to her later on, you can't even walk in a straight line. Like, the dynamic between these two, as it's written on the page, is not only lovely, it is very well acted.
Agreed.
And the delivery on it is extremely believable, and it reminds you why you love Outlander. Mm-hmm. This was the most Outlander part of the show that I can point to other than the looming presence of Stephen Bonnet.
Agree. Well, and this is why, you know, I forget who, someone had commented on Facebook Live, you know, if I give this episode a 5, but there's no sex, and I have said that before, I need some rumpy pumpy for this to be a 5. That scene to me was the Jamie Claire dynamic of season one, of just this love that I love to see this couple portray, just tender moments. And yes, there's tough things looming over them. You know, obviously sure. Stephen Bonnet is around. There's this looming war. There's the regulators. And yet Jamie and Claire can still find these moments.
English or Greek, you know, like that thing, you know, say it backwards.
Yes.
And, you know, the fact that you can even say it forwards makes you a lot in a better shape than me. Like,
well, and these are moments that we often miss in the show, in my opinion. Like, Jamie's really funny, and the Jamie Claire dynamic, you get to have this really sweet, fun banter. And I don't think we've been able to have that as often interwoven in the show.
Sure.
And these are this moment. I didn't need sex.
And that's the beauty. Like, I know a lot of people say, I want the sex, I want the sex, I want the sex. And I know we've had some listener feedback about like that, but the sex part of it is lazy to me. It's lazy writing. And I remember reading Dragonfly and Amber, and I remember reading Outlander, and I was like, I get to the sex part, and I'm like, okay, just like fast forward, like, or like flip the page. Like, come on. All right, let's get to the point. Like, I don't care. Like, it's nice to watch, and sure, they're two beautiful people doing beautiful things to each other. Sure, great. But it's lazy writing. Like, this is the kind of intimacy that I want to see. This is the kind of thing that I need.
This is Jamie and Claire.
In order to believe in the relationship.
Yes.
The sex is great, but if you got nothing upstairs, then what the hell's the point?
So he asks her if she wants this baby, and they get to talk about how he didn't get to raise a child with her, and how he can just tell how he loves seeing her with a baby in her arms, and is, you know, maybe this is our second chance.
Sure. And that dynamic is something that the show, I'm very proud of it for tackling, because there is this relationship dynamic that the two haven't shared with each other.
I mean, you can be proud of Diana.
It is but I'm proud of the show for tackling it.
Like,
for acknowledging it. They haven't parented with each other. They haven't raised a child. They haven't, you know, and it also shows you the sensitivity that Jamie has, not only for Claire.
I'm remembering what I said to you last night.
What?
When I was like, here, continue. You're on like a nice trajectory. I'll go back to my funny thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't even remember what I was saying now.
Okay, so here's what happened. Maybe like 20 minutes after the episode, Blake and I acted a scene out. This is what actually happened in Jamie and Claire's minds. Okay, so Jamie thinks to himself, "Oh my god, I totally watched a baby overnight."
Oh, yeah.
When Bree and Roger got married, we had Jemmy, and I freaking nailed that, man. I nailed it. I got to like make out with my wife and then change a baby diaper. I'm awesome with babies. Babies are easy.
I got this.
And then he says all this to Claire because he's like, oh, yeah, I'd love to raise a child with you. And in Claire's mind, she's going through the Rolodex of like what it actually takes to have a newborn baby and the sleepless nights and the dirty diapers and all this stuff. And Jamie just thinks it's going to be a walk in the park. And she's just like, oh, honey, that's really, really nice.
But oh, honey, no.
But, I like being a grandma.
When they poop, I just get to give them back.
Give them right back.
Just hold them out like this. I think he needs to be changed. Can't wait to be a grandparent just to do that stuff. Just be like, nope, here you go. Here's the kid. Like,
I can wait.
Give him all the chocolate chips. Give him all like the candy. Rile them all up and kick him out of the house and say goodbye.
And they, you know, Claire's enjoying this chapter of their lives, this new adventure. So,
yep. No, I agree.
I just loved the innocence of Jamie, and that's all I was picturing was Jamie like the night after Bree and Roger, and when they give Jimmy back, I could just picture him like cracking his knuckles, being like, "I'm awesome.
I got this, bro.
I could do newborns any day."
But so again, yeah. I kind of remember what I was saying before. This conversation, even though it's a drunken conversation, it's one that's kind of...
A little tipsy,
having a little fun with it, making some bad decisions, you know? This conversation is one that I'm proud of the show for tackling because these two have not been parents together. They have not gone through the ringers of this stuff, and they genuinely regret it. They both... And even though I know Claire is happy with Brianna and that she raised Brianna with Frank, and I think she tried her best, I think she genuinely regrets not having Jamie be a part of Brianna's life.
Oh my gosh, of course.
And not only that, it shows you the kind of sensitivity that Jamie has to Brianna,
mm-hmm,
and to Claire, obviously, with trying to give her something that he feels like she deserves with him, creating life together. And
where's her kitten? I mean, we all have seen Adso.
Just give her a dog. I don't know.
No, we've all seen the little wee kitty. Like, so I'm not spoiling anything.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen a little gray cat in all the promo, like all the little things.
So
just saying.
So that's that. You got any? Got anything else you want to talk about, real quick?
She talks about that they die.
Oh, yes, that's right. Their obituary. This is one of those things.
She drops that bomb.
It's coming down from the clouds with this one. Like, she's like, yeah, well, we do have this obituary.
Emo Claire comes out.
I wish the sun were as black as my heart.
I don't know if we should have a baby since we're going to die in a couple of years. You know, that
I mean, we're
obituary.
Dying every day, right? Every day, a little bit, right, Jamie?
Can't forget about that thing.
What's it all mean anyway, Jamie? What's it all mean? What's the point? We're just going to die. Everything we are, it's going to be erased.
No. I loved this episode. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Yeah, no, this was a good episode. I enjoyed it.
Yes.
But it's very episodic. And I feel like there's a lot of context. Well, you know what? Let's do this. You got an outlandish theory? I mean, I have an outlandish theory if you'd like.
I am not allowed to really have outlandish theories.
That's right.
Unless it's about like Murtaugh, who doesn't exist in the books.
Well, I got an outlandish theory, and let's get to it.
Okay.
So, as we all know, Roger is going home, and he's escorting Claire, the most important person in Jamie's life, by the way, as we know that.
Love.
And I love the fact that Claire said this. It actually reminded me quite a bit of you, Mary. That is something that is exactly yes. what you would say.
Yes.
And I smiled a little bit knowing that. We all know that Roger's going home, and he's escorting Claire, so on and so forth. But we also know that Bree is on high alert. And even though she ain't talking to anybody about it, she's on high alert. So my feeling is something along these lines is going to happen. Roger is going to come home. And Jemmy and Jermaine or whoever, the kid's going to be off doing their own thing.
Jermaine's going to be reciting poetry
yeah.
in the next episode.
And like they're going to be watched by Mrs. Bug or whoever, right? And
I hope not Mrs. Bug. She sucks.
Roger's going to be looking for Brianna, but she ain't there. She's like, he can't find her. So he goes and sees Jemmy. He picks him up.
And like, I actually love Mrs. Bug.
And he takes him and he goes for a walk or whatever.
I feel like I'm ruining your Atlantis.
I know, thank you
right
so
now.
Much.
I'm just picturing Mrs. Bug be like, here, play with a stick of dynamite. Perfect.
Don't tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Okay, fine. Roger goes home. He's holding Jemmy.
He's holding Jemmy and maybe goes for a little bit of a walk or whatever. He's going to find Brianna later. And Bree walks over, sees that Jemmy is not there again, and she bugs out again.
Get it? Bug?
Oh! She freaks out again. But then Roger turns around and is like, hey, what are you talking about? Like, and then she's like, oh, sorry. What are you talking about? Like, I'm here. And she thinks that it's Stephen Bonnet who has taken the kid. And she's forced to tell Roger that Stephen Bonnet, she knows that he's alive. And Roger bugs out again. And that's the whole impetus for him wanting to get trained by Jamie so that he can go take out Stephen Bonnet. Which then leads me to believe also that the Regulator storyline has to take place later on. Because now this will get us into the Stephen Bonnet storyline of what's happening. And they're going to have to figure out how Roger's going to go to get Bonnet, and it's going to be a thing. So that's that. What do you think, Marvin? Do I get an interesting?
Interesting.
Just it, like, wow. That was aggressively bad.
I know.
Mock me.
Please hang up and try
just
again.
Just like this darn cat to show up.
All right, Marvin, final thoughts. We're at an hour four on this
one. That's my outlandish theory. A little gray kitty's going to enter our lives. A chitty.
Final thoughts. What do you got?
I loved this episode, and I am going to enjoy rewatching it so much more than last week's episode, which I will definitely rewatch at some point, sometime again, but stinky.
Well,
not as stinky was this one.
No, not as stinky.
All those apples.
For me, the final thoughts are thus. This episode was good. I enjoyed it in a similar fashion to the way I enjoyed last episode. But there is a lot of exposition happening here. There is a lot of talking. There is a lot of setup.
Hold on tight, Spider-Monkey.
No, I get it. But as a show watcher, like, you know, these things are frustrating. They're frustrating because I don't know the story coming up. And it's like, okay, what are we doing? Like, we just spent last week, I said, okay, cool little experiment, Walking Dead inspired Outlander. Cool. Awesome. Love it. Next episode, better get things pumping.
No, this is a whole different thing. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Just have patience. It's because you're podcasting about each episode that you feel this way. But I think if you were to be watching it, and then once you see what happens, you'll be like, oh.
Yeah. And I get it. I get it. But no, I mean, listen, just because we're podcasting about it doesn't mean that I don't watch television in a similar fashion with other shows. Like, again,
we have to watch the preview, don't forget.
No, that's for a listener feedback episode.
Oh, okay.
I'm watching Better Call Saul, and like better right now because I'm just catching up with season 5. Better Call Saul is expertly told. It's expertly told. And even though there are some things that are just somewhat episodic, each episode, even in smaller fashions or larger fashions, moves the story forward and it connects the whole thing. These two episodes, past two, just seem to be one-offs. And it's frustrating because instead of using Morton and Alicia to tell this story about, you know, love is amazing and love can conquer all. I'll do everything for love and I'll sacrifice anything for love. Why can't we just have that with Jamie and Claire or Roger and Bree? I mean, like, Roger is more concerned with impressing Jamie than hearing the fact that he gets to go home to his wife. Like, he's concerned about being like, well, Jamie doesn't like me. Like, what? What are we talking about? So that's the frustrating thing. But I will say, the relationships were really good. And the craft that was used here was excellent. So I enjoyed it because of that, in the same way that I enjoyed last episode.
Awesome.
So that's that. All right. Marvin, you ready to close this out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
When Jamie's telling Josiah, like, no, you're 14.
Yeah, no, no, you're 14.
You're 14, and that's why you can't fight. And you gotta go to the ritual. No, yeah, I think you think you're older, but you're not. I'm telling you you're not, because I don't want you to die.
So you're 14.
Another
go
one of
home.
The moments that I just loved of Jamie.
I would agree with that one. That was one that we did not talk about, but luckily you brought it up. Thank you. You're the best.
Yeah, I'm seeing the moment there, and I'm like, that's something I really wanted to make sure I could reach out. We want to thank all of you who have taken the time on your podcast apps to leave a written review. And if you've already left a written review, you can always go back and search the word Outlander and find OutlanderCast in your podcast app and like the comments that other people have left. We want to thank right now Hecky, who said Outlander royalty. Droughtlander is officially done and dusted for Outlander is back with Mary and Blake with their insightful, wonderful, and entertaining banter. I highly recommend them and could listen to their delightful podcasts all day.
Oh, thank you.
They are the tops in podcasting, and I give them 10 kilts across the board.
Oh, hey, doubling Hecky. The kilts.
Right?
The
right?
double game.
So thank
I'm all
you
about
so
it.
Much.
I'm all about it. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us and subscribing and for the comments and the reviews. As always, please go to maryandblake.com and check out all the podcasts that we have available, including This Is Us 2 or The North Remembers for Game of Thrones or the Hamilton podcast Rise Up or even You've Been Gilmored, which is a Gilmore Girls podcast. There are so many podcasts that we have, including one for The Crown, which is amazing. You can check all of them out there at maryandblake.com and search for Mary and I on all the social media. Just look up Mary and Blake, whether it's on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. We're there. Come chat with us. Email us. Have fun. Just Mary and Blake.
We want to thank all of the members of Outlander Cast staff. If you have not yet, the Minute by Minute Recap, written by our editor-in-chief, Ashley, I would love for you to check it out. Just go to outlandercast.com. It's the most recent blog post. So if you just click the read the blog, it'll pop right up there. Mm-hmm. Always, weekly, she just brings it, man. Some amazing witty banter, really fun tidbits. It's like reading a blog by your fun best friend.
That's right.
We also want to thank our patrons for making this possible and everyone who's recently joined the OutlanderCastClan.com.
Which is growing exponentially, by
thank
the way.
Thank you.
Like all of the sales at Minute with Mary because of these episodes, OutlanderCastClan.com. There are so many nerds joining it. It's awesome.
And truly, it makes the website possible. It makes the studio possible. It helps pay for our babysitter so we can do this. Mm-hmm. Truly, this would not happen without you all. So thank you. We want to especially thank our most generous patrons, Angie, Candy, Carolyn, Celine, Dawn, Diane, Jeffrey, Jennifer, Marilyn, Maureen, Patricia, Siobhan, Stephanie, Valerie. I'm wearing contacts that actually are not my correct prescription.
Oh, sweet.
Fun
okay.
fact. Amanda, Ann Lee, Barbara, Dana, Janet, Keelan, Lori Allen, Mary Ann, Meredith, Rainel, Rita, Sharon, Tina, and Whitney, as well as our executive producers Ann, Bobby D, Jen, Katie, Kirsty, Martha, Nadra, Peg, and Sarah. And don't forget that we're going to have another episode this week about listener feedback. So if you have not yet submitted your feedback yet, you can still do that.
Just email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com or outlandercast@gmail.com. And you can also send us a voicemail. Just go to one of our websites, either maryandblake.com or outlandercast.com. Click on the engage or contact us buttons where you will see another drop down that says voicemail. Click that and you'll be able to talk to us on SpeakPipe. That is our preferred method for voicemails just because it sounds wicked pissa. Sounds wicked pissa and it sounds like you're in studio.
Love it.
I love it too.
Well, on that note, my friends, we're going to wrap things up here and head on over to OutlanderCastClan.com for the After Doc episode.
The special After Doc episode.
Yes.
What kind of food should we eat for this one? Because you always eat food and have a drink with the After Doc.
Yeah. How about those peanut butter pretzels?
If you get me the pretzel thins, maybe with some hummus, I could get on board.
Okay, fine. All right. For now, my name is Mary.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to OutlanderCast.